welcome to another episode of the Crime and Coffee Couple. My name's Mike.
And my name's Allison.
Yeah, looking better every single day. It's like every single day I look at you, you're just more beautiful than the last.
I don't think so. Not today. You know, we said last week that, you know, I kind of let it go. I wasn't wearing my makeup.
Then you just kept going with that whole
idea. It's just, you know, it's a Friday. We're recording this early. I've been up since 4 o'clock in the morning working.
Hey, you're a real human being.
Yeah,
how about that?
I'm quite bushwhacked.
Hey, well, I do have some news. I took a shower today.
You did?
Yeah.
Congrats.
I took a shower.
Congrats.
Brushed my teeth. I mean, checked all of the boxes today so far.
You are just killing it.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. Feel pretty good about myself. I've got a t-shirt on that's Mario themed, so that's kind of fun.
And I'm wearing a baseball t-shirt.
Yeah, so hey.
Hey, you know, what are you going to do?
We're doing our thing.
We're trying our best.
Right, exactly. And today, believe it or not, folks, I started out the show because I'm going to be, blah, blah, blah. I sound like Porky Pig. That's all, folks. I'm going to be the one bringing the story today. So,
yeah, so you know. I get to just sit back and relax.
I mean, you've only done like 16 since the last time I did one.
Yeah, so. Way to step it up, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely. I am happy to. And I think the reason for that was so I could put out more videos, and I don't think I did.
Because
we had two problems. So the last one didn't record. It doesn't matter. But
if they're available. Technical issues.
Yeah, if they're available, I'm going to put them out. So
yeah.
Let's make it that simple. So
otherwise, he's going to have some hell to pay.
Yeah, in the form of Allison.
My rage.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to start off the show by talking about somebody out there in this world loves me. I'm holding up an orange coffee cup. It's not from Allison, right? She's mouthing that right now.
It's
so.
Not me.
And this is an orange coffee cup that our cousin sent me and said, you know what? I'm sick of Allison not letting you have an orange coffee cup.
I'm sick of that nasty bitch pulling you down.
Quote, unquote, within the Amazon package. And it's weird because she's kind of like on your side from your blood, but you know,
she is.
I don't blame her for loving me more because it makes sense. I'm very nice. And I'm a cool guy to hang out with.
So. Lexi is a better person than I am. And you should have married a nice girl like Lexi.
Yeah. Well,
instead, you're stuck with me
next
in this
time around.
Prison that we call life.
Or maybe you die like in the next 10 years and yeah, I can find myself a nice wife.
You made me upset this week when I was at work and you sent a picture of yourself drinking from the coffee cup and you're like, oh, it tastes so good out of the orange mug. And in my head, I'm like, it would taste even better if I put some cyanide in there, motherfucker.
Oh, I think you actually said that to me this week, too.
I did.
Was that Wednesday?
No, it was Thursday.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's nice. It's nice that we love each other so
we
much.
We do. We love each other so much.
And actually,
much.
Our anniversary
so much.
Is coming up.
Tuesday. Tuesday is on the 24th. It's my birthday and our 20th anniversary.
Yep, we got married on your birthday.
On my 23rd birthday, which makes me, 43.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been a long run and, you know, we're just in it for the long haul. At this point, there's no love between the two of us.
All love is lost.
It's just, you know,
it's convenience.
We don't want to take the time. Who wants to pay for a divorce lawyer?
It's way too expensive. And I mean,
I don't want to deal with that.
There's really not a lot of money to divvy up because after we pay lawyers, it's all going to be gone.
Right.
So, I mean, who's going to win in that?
Let's shake on that.
Let's do it. Let's stay together no matter what.
Right.
Just, you know, maybe just have separate bedrooms like we talked about. Maybe separate
or
houses.
Or we could do like a I Love Lucy and even have two twin size beds.
And still celebrate things like anniversaries and things so we can go out and have a nice dinner.
Right.
Maybe get out to a hotel or something. You know, whatever.
Yeah, so
we could be physical too, I think would be nice.
Maybe if you get me drunk enough.
Which doesn't happen recently because you've kind of stopped alcohol. So I see why you'd say that. So yeah, my options are kind of minimal.
Yeah. We're dwindling here. But
yeah.
Your parents are going to watch our kids and we're going to go away to a nice little getaway.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah, so thanks Lex for that orange cup. I really appreciate it.
She's the best.
And then from there, is there an Allison's Amazon addiction this week?
Yeah, there is. I'm kind of cheating because I didn't purchase it this week, but it's worth mentioning. It's a fanny pack, and I know that sounds dorky, but it's really cute.
Hey, you know what? I don't care. Sorry to cut you off. I don't care about people saying how dorky fanny packs are. They are fantastic.
Well,
like, if you're ever going to the beach or hiking or something where like you just don't have a lot of pocket space, like they're fantastic. A guy or girl, whatever you are, just to put it around your waist and put a bunch of, you know, you got your cell phone, you got your wallet, you got cards, you got like little doohickeys and I don't know, whatever else you pick up.
Well, it's big enough. It holds my phone.
Keys.
It holds my sunglasses, lip gloss, a little tube of Advil just in case I get like a headache or something.
Mm-hmm.
Just a few essentials and it keeps you hands free. And then sometimes I find when I have a purse on my shoulder for like hours and hours, it just kind of like rubs it the wrong way or something like that. This one is, what's the, it's like transformative. What's the word?
Transparent.
No, it's you can switch it around. It goes around your waist, and then it has different straps that you could wear it as a regular
purse. It's like leather, right? It looks
like
leather.
No, it's not leather. It's kind of, I don't know what the
material
is.
How much was it? Like $12?
It was somewhere around that, yeah. Okay. Not too expensive, but super versatile.
Yeah, so Allison buys something from Amazon almost every week, and this is the thing most recently that she thinks is useful. So.
I swear I am not a shopaholic. I swear to you I am not.
No, you buy like little things here and there. Like, yeah. You know, a $6 thing to improve, like, you know, like the little hooks on the side of the thing to hold our AirPods or something.
Yeah, just, you know, I like things little. That make our life easier and more streamlined. I hate clutter. I hate stuff.
Yeah.
So I would consider myself a somewhat minimalist. Mm-hmm. I pretty much go through our house almost yearly to try to clear out closets, and I don't like things. They make me insane.
And really, part of the reason I brought this up was so you can recognize how often you're buying from Amazon. Because,
well, like, I don't do a lot
of shopping. Potato, potato. But I don't shop anywhere else. It's not like I go to stores and things like that.
True, true. Grocery stores.
I do Walmart home grocery delivery. I might run to Target here and there. I picked up pillows for our new couch. But other than that, I'm not a shopper.
Right.
So that's why you might see me getting random things. Oh, and I lost 34 pounds, so I kind of had to replace my wardrobe.
Makes sense.
And when I say kinda, I did.
Right. And nothing but high-end Target items.
Or Amazon items.
Right.
Nothing but the best for me. Except, can I mention the pants that I'm wearing?
Sure.
It's Vuori, yeah. I think is how you say it. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's an athletic gear, but I'm wearing the joggers because they're great for short girls because mm-hmm. they're cropped.
And we're not making any money off
this. I'm not making money. They're not sponsoring us, but I am not kidding you. I don't ever want to be subjected to wearing any other pants except for these. I want to be, I was going to say buried in them, but I was like, no, I don't want to be buried. I want to be cremated in them. I never want to wear another pair of pants ever again. So Mike got me these for Mother's Day and I only have one pair. So I'm literally washing them 3 times a week so that I could wear them every single night to bed.
Well, they're definitely a splurge item because they're like basically
$82.
Yeah, 86,
84, something in the 80 range
for basically sweatpants, which is insane.
But they're super light and soft, like super light. So they're not heavy because here in Florida it's hotter than balls, Satan's balls actually.
Yeah, yeah.
And those balls are hot.
You can imagine.
So they're wonderful. And I tell you, if you have like a birthday coming up, something where you're like, I kind of feel bad about buying myself $84 joggers, it's worth a splurge. I'm not kidding you. And I'm going to hope to get them on my birthday and maybe another color.
Well, we'll put links in the show notes just in case you guys want to get yourself some.
You won't regret it.
Yeah. So I don't buy anything for myself. I've had this shirt for about 10 years.
Poor baby.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Let's see. First, Allison doesn't let him get an orange coffee cup.
Wah. Hey, why don't you tell our folks listening here what kind of awesome shampoo you bought me?
Old Spice?
Old Spice Swagger.
Isn't like Old Spice kind of like trendy now?
Yeah, for 13-year-olds.
Well, it was, if I bought 3 items, I got a gift card. So I kind of had it, but basically bought itself.
And what's nice about it is that it's both shampoo and conditioner, folks.
What did you say to me the other day? It's like you bought me Pert Plus.
Yeah, it's basically Pert Plus. I used to use that when I was about 13 because my parents were like, well, this is $5 and it'll last you 17 years because it's about 7 gallons.
Yeah.
And here you go.
Nothing but the best for you.
Yeah, well, you know what? I don't have any hair anyways.
Yeah, what are we kidding?
Yeah. And I think I just heard the video camera go off, so whatever. I'm sick of this damn thing.
What are we going to do?
We got to invest in a new one. I don't know. This thing blows.
Yeah, Mike got mad at me last week because I was like, this thing's not working. He's like, oh, what do you want me to do? Buy a new one? I'm like, well, yeah.
They're so expensive.
It's like we're trying to videotape. It's not videotaping.
We're just starting to have some Patreons. We're just starting to like, I mean, we've probably invested hundreds of dollars in this podcast and whatever. It's all part of the fun.
We're learning our way. Yep, just be patient with us. We've got the weekly podcast coming out anyway. You don't want to see our ugly faces anyway.
Right. So
we'll see. So ugly.
Yeah, well, she is. I'm not that ugly. I'm more European looking. Like, I'm different.
Yourself,
I'm
Allison.
Different looking. I made you a nice little mocktail today. You had a what is that, grapefruit and pineapple Spindrift.
Yes, it's delicious. Just delicious. A little bit of grapefruit juice. I don't want it to be like super heavy because I've gotten into this habit of eating Skinny Cow ice creams.
You have.
It's 150 calories for this ice cream sandwich. It comes in either vanilla ice cream in the middle or chocolate. And we were joking that Mike's mom's going to eat like 5 in 1 night. So now we call them fat cows. Because I'm like, instead of skinny cows, they're going to be fat cows. So I'm like, Mike, would you get me a fat cow?
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't want to go too crazy. I do count my calories, though, so it's it's all good.
Yeah, yeah. So anything else to cover?
We'll mention our new Patreon members at the end of the show. Right. And we decided that we'll list them all until we hit 20.
Yeah, so you better get in while you can.
Get in while it's hot,
that's
folks.
Right. Yeah, we'll see if that marketing works.
And right. Tonight was Perno Pizza Friday.
It was. We just made a pizza, fresh dough. You made the dough.
Yep. Every Friday, we make our own pizza dough, and we come up with a different topping. The kids kind of stay boring. Reese does pepperoni. Cameron likes cheese. Mm-hmm. But we do fun toppings. This week we did pear and gorgonzola and sauteed nice caramelized mushrooms.
Yeah, those mushrooms were kick ass. I must say that.
Yeah, I have my KitchenAid mixer that Mike got me. You got me that for Christmas, what, like 5 years ago?
I think so.
More than that?
It's pretty much a dough maker, I think.
Well, I use it for cookies. I use it for appetizers and things like that. I love that KitchenAid mixer. But anyway, so our last name is Pernecki, so we call it Perno Pizza Friday or PPF.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was delicious.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll get right into it. Right, yeah. Mike?
Yep. So let's do this. This is one that's kind of hot in the news area right now. So yes. I saw it. I was researching, found it on Reddit. And me, not being a big true crime guy, you know, is brand new to me. So I hope this is a lot of new information. Hopefully I did some good research here. You be the judge. But this is about Brittany Drexel. Since you're listening, you already know that because it's in the title. But this is about Brittany Drexel. And if you don't know about it yet, then you'll be able to see all the news reports later. But
and speaking for myself, I was watching the news Monday while I was working at the table, and I did hear some updated things about it. I don't know the details, though, so I'm actually interested to hear.
It's kind of a crazy story because what you heard most recently is not the latest. I mean, it's totally different than everything that everybody has known before now.
Okay.
So it's a weird twist.
Okay? I don't want to give any spoilers away if you haven't been watching the news, so I'm just going to shut my mouth.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Please. Yeah.
You wish I would do that more often.
Absolutely. So this is about young Brittany Drexel. She was born on October 7th, 1991. Mm. She would be 31 this year if she was still alive.
Okay.
She was born near Rochester, New York, to parents Don Drexel and a man of Turkish descent.
Oh.
So, didn't even name him.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah. When she was a toddler, her mom married Chad Drexel, who adopted her.
Okay, I figured they were divorced, hence not mentioning his name.
Yep. I don't even know if it was married or divorced or whatever. It's just a Turkish guy.
Maybe they weren't even married.
Yep. So, she had two younger siblings who she loved and had a lot of pictures with. Brittany's just adorable, like a 17-year-old, you know, beautiful young lady. Two siblings that she always had pictures. She was smiling, laughing, you know, taking care of them, being the nice big sister, and lived with her family in the Rochester suburb of Chili, New York. Chili.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Wonder if they do a lot of chili cook-offs there.
I should hope so. If not, I mean, that's a huge opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't, you know, people in Chili, start making a chili cook-off.
Yeah, exactly. I love chili.
Yeah, me too.
Take some Beano first, though. You know what I'm saying?
And it's not great in the summertime here in Florida where it's 98 degrees.
A little warm.
Yeah. So in 2008, her mother and stepfather, Chad, separated and filed for a divorce.
Okay.
So this kind of created some turmoil. Brittany being a kind of a tender age, it's like, you know, just kind of lashing out and things. Her parents' separation negatively affected her school performance.
Sure. And I'm sorry, how old was she at that time? Well, 2008 minus 1991. Please, this brain is...
17 or so.
Okay. So she was a teenager.
Yes. Maybe, I don't know exactly.
Whatever, my brain can't handle it right now. It's not computing.
We are not the math couple, we are the crime and coffee couple.
Yeah, we'll just move on.
Thank you. So, please never ask that again.
Okay, never. Okay, never, never.
her mother and stepfather, Chad, separated and filed for a divorce. Like I said, the separation affected her school performance, so she was sleeping late, skipping school, generally just kind of like, I don't care anymore, just kind of lashing out a little bit. Just generally going down the wrong road, or the dark side, as my football coach used to say it. So, like, we'd be in football, and we'd ask about somebody who's not there anymore. Like, you know, freshman year, sophomore year, and then all of a sudden, junior year, the kid's not there anymore. And we're like, what happened to this guy? It's like, oh, he chose the dark side, so he's going out partying,
drinking, smoking
weed. Yeah, and he was a great quarterback, but yeah, she chose the dark side. Uh-huh. As much as kids can, it's not like, you know,
well, it doesn't mean they're gonna stay there. Maybe they're just having a dark moment.
It's a difficult time.
Yeah.
So so much so that she actually overdosed on her mom's pain medications.
Oh geez.
Twice.
Intentionally or unintentionally?
Twice. Intentionally.
Oh, that's really sad.
Well, I don't know about intentionally or unintentionally. Well,
you know how kids might be like drinking and taking them at recreationally and they don't know what they're doing, just like anybody wouldn't know. You don't know what sometimes what the amount is.
No, she was definitely,
it was a suicide attempt, is what I'm saying.
No, I don't think so. So Well, maybe, because here's the reason. Both times are after a major breakup with her boyfriend, John Greco.
Okay. And I mean, that still doesn't necessarily mean anything, because
she's probably sad, gotten a low, just, you know, pit of despair, didn't want to feel feelings.
My biggest question was this a suicide attempt?
I don't know.
Okay.
My gut says no.
Okay.
It's to me, it seems like just trying to get away from it all.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know for sure. So at the time of her disappearance,
did she have to be hospitalized for those overdoses?
Yeah, they pumped her stomach and everything.
Very serious.
Her stepfather, he said, you know, well, they didn't have to pump as much as people thought. And it's like, well, she still had to go to the hospital.
You had to go to the hospital. And I mean, it was a scary situation, I'm sure.
I get that he's trying to protect her name and stuff.
Yeah, of course.
But definitely bad situations.
Yeah.
At the time of the disappearance, Brittany was a junior at Gates Chili High School.
Okay.
And played for the soccer team.
Oh, that's good that she was into sports.
Yeah, she was kind of a star player.
Wow.
So her coaches said that they'd never seen a girl faster than Brittany.
Wow.
Like, she was small, but like fast. She had, like, her boyfriend even said she probably weighed 100 pounds.
So. And the small ones get shifty. You know, they can shift in and out and pivot quickly.
Yeah.
So they tend to be good.
Not a lot of momentum taking them the other way to stop.
Exactly.
Yep. She also studied cosmetology and wanted to be a model or a nurse.
Okay.
And she was, you know, very, very pretty girl. So, you know, definitely a possibility there. I read also that she had an eye condition in her right eye that caused her to be blind, totally blind.
Wow.
Which I'd imagine would make soccer very
hard. You would think so.
So I don't know how much truth there is in that, but I did read it in a couple different areas.
Because you have to have your peripheral vision to see what's coming on the side.
Yeah. And how close the ball is to you and how fast or whatever. So it was one of those that like changed the color of the eye too. So she had like a contact in her right eye.
Interesting.
It changed the color permanently and also helped it to track.
Okay.
So an interesting little tidbit there. In 2009, Brittany Drexel was trying to plan for an incredible spring break.
Mm-hmm.
So she asked her mom to let her join her friends on a trip to Myrtle Beach, a huge spring break destination for tons of kids and families on the east coast of the U.S. and South Carolina.
Yep.
And also a tradition at her high school to make a spring break pilgrimage at some point to Myrtle Beach.
Okay, so it was always Myrtle Beach that was like the destination for her high school?
Yep.
Okay.
Exactly.
And it's like you don't want to have that FOMO if you don't do it.
All the cool kids go to Myrtle Beach at this high school.
Yeah, interesting that Myrtle Beach.
Yeah, and you'll know a little bit more why.
Okay.
So it's a beautiful location right on the Atlantic Ocean with tons of things to do. It's oceanfront boardwalk, restaurants, a huge Ferris wheel, gorgeous golf courses, just tons of stuff to do.
Yeah.
And probably bars and restaurants.
Yeah,
and
obviously you'd have to have a fake ID.
Yep, you would. And I'll mention that in a little bit here.
I was such a goody two-shoes. Lord knows I didn't have a fake ID.
Well, actually, I'll just say it now. So the bars in Myrtle Beach, they allow people 17 and up into the bars.
Okay, so into the bars, but I would assume you'd have to have like a wristband or something in order to order alcohol.
Probably. But as you know, from any bar that was in a college town, you know, you're 17 and you get somebody 21 to buy your stuff.
Of course.
And then go in a corner and start slamming beers and shots and do whatever.
There's ways around these things.
I mean, anybody who's not an idiot knows that somebody in a bar who's 17 around people that are drinking is going to be able to drink.
Of course.
So that's why it was such a huge location for them.
I see.
They all love to get down there and drink and do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and all the people in Rochester had the hookups there. Like, it was just back and forth. Like,
yeah.
So, it was, yeah, really a place for the cool kids. So, you know, Brittany asked her mom, hey, can I go? And they asked Brittany's mom, Dawn Drexel, how that conversation went.
Mm-hmm.
So, she said, Brittany asked me if she can go to Myrtle Beach. I said, Brittany, you are not going to Myrtle Beach. No, you are not going.
Okay, so firm.
Firm. She also
not
said,
up for discussion type of conversation.
Nope. And she said that Brittany would often play her and the stepdad off of each other.
Sure.
And Dawn said that she knew that stepdad would also would
okay
say the
he
same
would support
thing
that decision.
Yeah. So she said, you can even go ask your stepfather. It's no.
Yeah. And it's always important for parents, whether you're together or not, to be a united front with children, because they will play you both like a fiddle, and then that's going to cause friction between the couple.
Yep.
Because Cam tried to do that recently.
Yeah,
I told him absolutely not, and then that little son of a gun went downstairs and asked you the exact same question. You're like, yeah, I don't see why not.
Did you hear me? What happened? I don't even remember.
He wanted to move a twin bed in the rental house we had in St. Augustine, which was preposterous if you saw the situation.
I didn't, yeah.
And I'm like, absolutely not.
Oh, okay.
So, and then I go upstairs and he's literally pushing the bed out of the room. I'm like, I just told you no.
Right.
That was just so, like, I'm like, don't do that again. Because it's not your fault. You don't know he did it.
Right. And we have to try to be, that's why I should have, like, checked.
Yes.
Like,
what is your mom think? Right, vice versa. Anywho, well, so they were both firm on this, absolutely not to Myrtle Beach.
Yep, 100%. And okay. Brittany said, why, mom? Nothing's going to happen to me. And Don said, there's no parental supervision. I don't know the kids you're going with. Ugh. Something's going to happen.
Oh, my gosh. I will tell you right now, as a mother, that would scare the bejesus out of me.
Right.
Because you're completely out of control. And what is she, about 17 years old at this age?
Yep.
You know, she's on the verge of being an adult and even going off to college. I think about when I was going away to college, my parents lived in Florida and I lived in Illinois. Like, they had no idea what I was doing. But it's hard to let go of that control, especially in an environment where you know there's going to be drinking and or drugs.
Right.
And your 17-year-old daughter could get herself into some big trouble because God knows if her drink will get drugged or what.
Well, instead of being just around 17, 18, 19-year-olds, you introduce them to like 25 and 28-year-olds who have a lot of money. And all of a sudden they're like, hey, you know, come back to my place.
Especially those skeevy guys that go to the bar specifically knowing that there's going to be underage girls there because they're too loserish to get a girl their own age.
Right. Yeah, like we tell a lot of people that we know, any guy who's like 27 going for a 17-year-old is a freaking loser.
But you know what? A 17-year-old doesn't see that. All they see is that they want to go and be part of the group with their friends and enjoy on the fun and say that they experience this life, you know, memory.
Yeah.
But as a parent, we see all the risks involved.
Well, and they also feel cool. They're like, wow, this 27-year-old thinks I'm hot.
Yeah, and this is great. It's tough too, because as a parent, you want your kids to be happy and sure. You want them to experience life, but nothing's more important than their safety.
Right.
So I support her parents saying,
yeah, for sure,
it's not a good idea.
Now, if you knew the people they're going with, and you're like, you guys stay together all the time, that's absolutely a slightly different story. Slightly.
If you knew, like, it was all your girls, like, and they're all at the house together all the time, and you know them so well.
Yeah, right.
But if you don't know them, oh, no, I would not be comfortable with that.
Yep. So like your mom said, something's going to happen. Unfortunately, something did happen.
Oh, man, what a nightmare.
Yep. Wednesday, April 22nd, 2009, not the date yet. So, Brittany decided she'd been dealing with so much stress at home. So she went to her boyfriend, John Greco, and vented to him about the conversation and really the argument she just had with her mom.
Uh-huh.
Saying like, this is bullshit. I need to be able to get there. Like, this is Myrtle Beach. This is the big one. You know, I got to go to this thing. And just, you know, there's been so much going on in my life. And, you know, this divorce is just driving me up a wall. And I just need to get out of here.
She wanted to use it as like a release valve and go blow off some steam and have a good time.
Exactly.
So, I see both sides 100%.
Yeah. After she vented, I mean, at 17, this is your whole life.
Yes.
You're basically like, if I don't do this now, I may never get to do it again.
Right.
You're like, this is it. You know, sure, she was a junior, but, you know, this is the time to go. She's being invited. She knows some people that are going. It's time to go.
Yeah, she wants to take the opportunity that's presented to her.
Wants to make some stories and stuff. So after she vented to her boyfriend, she asked her mom one last time if she should go.
Mm-hmm.
But mom again said no. She was worried and didn't want her to go. She's like, nope, nope, nope. You're not going. Like, we're done having this conversation.
Yeah, that's how I get too, when I'm just like, it's an absolute no. We're not talking. I'm always like, we are done talking about this.
Yep. So during the conversation, Brittany quickly pivoted.
Okay.
And she asked her mom if she could spend the rest of her vacation at a friend's house nearby.
Okay.
And she'd stay in touch on her cell phone.
I'm sure her mom was pretty suspicious. Like,
nope. Nope, not at all.
Okay.
Well, I take that back.
It could completely go either way. They could just say, hey, I still want to have a spring break. I'm going to go with my friends. I get that. But I would also be like, tracking the Find My iPhone thing.
Well, and this time they didn't have
that. Yeah, it's harder.
Yeah.
It was harder back then.
I take that back. Her mom was suspicious.
Yeah, and obviously her mom cares.
Yes, of course, 100%.
Otherwise, she would have been like, yeah, go ahead.
Right, and then she wouldn't even hear about it or think about it. So, no, she was suspicious. She said there's got to be some, you know, some adults there.
Checking in.
Right. So,
I get it.
Yeah, what are you guys going to do? And there was a beach nearby that they all went to, and, you know, that she thought that's where she was staying.
So, it seems like a good compromise.
Right. And so, you know, mom's like, yeah, I guess that'd be fine. And she's like, well, you know, I'm going to stay in touch on my cell phone. So don't worry. I'll make sure to call you and talk to you every day.
Okay.
So she's like, all right. Meanwhile, Brittany made plans to go to Myrtle Beach.
Of course she did, because she didn't want that to pass her by.
And she ended up telling her boyfriend, saying, hey, I'm going to Myrtle Beach. What do you think of that? And he said, yeah, I agree. I think it'd be great for you to get out of town, get away for a little bit, just get away from all this stuff, blow off some steam, like you said, for 3 days in Myrtle Beach.
Okay.
And I watched him being interviewed. He's like, of course, if I can go back, I would change my mind.
Of course, but hindsight, yeah. You know, you don't know. How many kids go to Myrtle Beach and come back with no problem, but maybe a little hangover?
99.9%.
Exactly.
Right. And that's what you always think. That's what I always say to myself, you know, when we're trying to be too cautious. I'm like, 99.9% of every single person that does this is going to be safe.
But I always think that what if we're that minuscule percent,
then you've never forgive yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
So Brittany left Rochester with 4 other friends that night.
I think now that you're saying this, I think I know this story, and I effing hate the girl she goes with.
Yeah. So
if I'm remembering correctly.
Yep.
Little bitches.
So she asked John to go with, but he had work, so he couldn't go.
That sucks, because when you're in a relationship and you trust the person, it's like they're your security blankets.
Yeah.
I always feel like that when I'm traveling without you, because you always just make me feel safe and happy. So whenever I am traveling without you, it's always like it's good to put yourself out there and not have that dependency. I'm all about independence, but it's always scary, especially if she's going with girls that she's not very close with.
Well, females are, you know, can be taken advantage of, because, you know, men are bigger and stronger. So, I mean, that's a
physically,
fact.
Yes, right. Physically.
Right. So you have some sort of protection from a male. But if there's a male that wants to get at you and you're by yourself, like, it's
scary.
Game over. You know, it's very scary. Unless you have some pepper spray or something, or a gun or whatever it might be.
And obviously there's ways to stay safe. Safety in numbers. Try not to separate yourself away from the group. Being intoxicated by yourself. Putting yourself in situations that could be dangerous. Mm-hmm. I'm not victim shaming by anyone that happens to. But you know how it is. It's what we would tell our kids. Safety in numbers. Stay together type of situation.
Exactly. So Brittany took off with these 4 friends. Brittany texted John several times on the way, and I mean, they kept in touch very much. And once they got there, she said Myrtle Beach is beautiful, the beaches are awesome, the palm trees are cool, and they kept in close contact.
Okay.
Soon after arriving, Brittany told John that she'd been staying at the Bar Harbor Hotel. While Myrtle Beach is a beautiful place, Brittany wasn't looking to go golfing. As you can imagine.
Of course. What 17-year-old girl is going golfing on her spring break?
Yep. So, as you can imagine, there's bars and clubs. And this is where I kind of mentioned that 17-year-olds go to these bars. And John, the boyfriend, was interviewed. And he's like, you know, they all know that underage kids are going in. It's all about the money.
Of
they just want more
is.
Money flowing in.
No, we didn't serve them a drink.
Right. Exactly.
It's like, yeah, but they're wasted in the back of the bar on your property.
Right. So, you know, they're going out to all these bars, meeting a bunch of people, drinking a bunch. By all accounts, Brittany had a great, like, first night there and had a great time. But quickly after that, Brittany told John her friends were doing tons of drugs.
Oh.
And that she wasn't into it. And that, so I don't have a lot of details about, there's one thing about this one girl that's not, you know, necessarily her fault. That doesn't make me think that she's a bad person or anything. But do you know any more details?
No, it's been a while since I've heard a podcast on it. Uh-huh. I just remember thinking in my head, what little bitches.
Yeah. So after that, Brittany told John that her friends were doing drugs and just wasn't into everything. You know, they kind of were just like, she kind of felt bad. It's just like, I kind of want to go home. I'm done with this.
Oh, I would hate that feeling.
She felt out
of
her element.
And you feel stuck.
Yeah.
Because you are, really.
She's completely stuck.
But obviously, had she confessed to her mom what she did, her mom would have been driving down there immediately.
Right.
I just know it, but she didn't want to call it out and say, hey, this is what I've done.
Well, then she's like, I'm going to be like grounded.
I'm going to get in trouble.
For the whole summer.
Now, let me ask you this. How close was she to these girls she went with? Like, how did she know them?
John knew them. So he knew of them, and he said they were like fine people.
She go to school with them?
I don't know.
Okay. I just can't remember what their relationship, how they knew each other and how close they were. And are we talking like heavy duty drugs they were doing?
It just said that, I mean, I'd imagine that Brittany was into some kind of drugs, you know, like I'm sure marijuana
like
was fine
and
yeah, maybe a little cocaine or something, but maybe they're getting into like more pills and so I don't, you know, all speculation.
Okay.
I don't know what they were getting into. Maybe it was cocaine and maybe she just didn't want to be a part of that because, you know, the late night scene, staying up late.
Sure.
All that stuff. Yeah. So, anyways, on Friday evening, April 24th, Brittany ended up running into a friend from Rochester.
Okay.
It's 20-year-old Peter Brazowitz.
Peter.
Yep.
Okay.
Peter worked for a bunch of Rochester nightclubs. So he had a hookup at a bunch of the bars that were in Myrtle Beach because he talked to people in Rochester and where to go and kind of introduced him to people in Myrtle Beach and everything. So he would always be at parties and clubs back in Rochester. And John's like, you know, I didn't know him. He wasn't like a friend. He was an acquaintance of mine, okay, but he was more of a friend of Brittany's.
Okay.
So, you know, John didn't know him very well, but he did say, yeah, you know, he seemed okay. And he's like, once I heard that Brittany was with him, I figured that, oh, good, well, he can like protect her and stuff and make sure everything's going well.
That sounds like a really good boyfriend because he's thinking more about the safety of his girlfriend and trusting her rather than thinking, oh, there's another guy with my girl. I don't, what's going on down there?
Yeah. Yeah. Instead of that jealous type.
Yeah. It sounds very mature.
Yeah. And he had, you know, all these interviews, he kind of had his stuff together, it seemed like. So, seemed like a decent individual. So, you know, he was like, well, you know, at least Peter, she's got a male there that right, can hang
look
out
over
her.
Yep.
So he was staying at a hotel called the Blue Water Resort.
Okay.
And that resort will be significant the next day.
Okay.
All right. So here's the next day, Saturday afternoon, April 25th, 2009. This is the date.
Okay. That's the date.
Yep.
The date that we all hate.
Yep. Brittany's mom and sister called Brittany excitedly to tell her they had just got her new soccer cleats.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked her what she was planning that day because it was supposed to be an unseasonably beautifully warm day in Rochester. 80s in April.
Wow.
So, you know, they figured she's on the beach. They're probably going to be out there all day long.
That makes me so sad.
Yeah, they were like, oh, what are you going to do? It's a great day. Like, you got so lucky.
They sound like such a nice family.
Yeah. And her little sister was, like, interviewed on this thing. And she's so mature. Like, it's so cute. You know, just kind of like, yeah, it was a really nice day at the beach. And, you know, it's really sad. So they called Brittany, and she said she was at the Charlotte Beach, spelled, I think, Charlotte, but okay, it's Charlotte.
And obviously that's up near where she would be Rochester, with her friends in New York.
Yep. And Dawn asked to talk to a parent. So she's like, hey, well, okay, well, that's great. You guys are hanging out. Well, let me talk to a parent just to make sure everything's good and thank them and stuff.
Good mom.
So Brittany handed the phone to somebody, and Brittany, you know, Dawn talked to this person. They're like, oh, yeah, hey, you know, absolutely, no problem. Don't worry about it.
So did she just like flag somebody down that she was, you know, at the bar or something?
Yeah, could be. Or a friend or something, just trying to act like a mom.
Yeah, of course.
Yep. So Dawn was just like, yeah, I didn't think anything of it. And I said, thank you so much for having her. And she's like, oh, she's not a problem. She's great. And just gave the phone back to Brittany, and they're like, what do you guys plan on doing today? And she's like, well, we're gonna hang out and then go back to my friend's house and watch some movies, and it's gonna be a great night, and I'll be back tomorrow.
Oh man, this makes me so sick to my stomach, just being a parent, and you're sitting there at your home thinking that everything is fine, and meanwhile your daughter is not where she says she is. She's where you did not want her to be, and then something terrible happens
with people she doesn't know, or you don't know.
It's just a nightmare.
And as we always say, this would be the last time Brittany spoke to her family.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to be a psycho mom, I guess. Maybe, I don't know. It's so scary because you want your kids to be safe.
Like we say in Dory or whatever.
I know.
You
know,
nothing ever happens to them, then nothing will ever happen to them.
I know, but it's hard. It's
calculated
really,
risks.
Really hard.
Calculated risks, that's all. So
I'd be like, I'll go down to the beach with you and just kind of hover in the background.
Yeah, if you need anything,
yeah,
I'll
sure,
be right there.
Mom, that'll be fun.
Just like, hey, you girls want a drink?
Jinx on me, girls.
So later that Saturday, Brittany wanted to meet up with her friend, Peter Brozowitz, that she had met with earlier. Before she went, she borrowed some shorts.
This is what I remember. I remember the shorts.
Yep. She borrowed some shorts from one of her friends she was staying with. So she took off, went to Peter's hotel. Around 8 p.m., Brittany texted John, her boyfriend, saying she's having a terrible time and she was looking forward to coming home the next day.
Yeah.
Just like, I'm done with this place. I can't wait to see you.
There's no place like home.
Yep. A short time after she got to the Blue Water Resort, where John was staying, her friend demanded that she had her shorts back.
That's what I remember.
She was like, I need those shorts. Give me them back. I want to take them out tonight. So, like,
well, why did you have her wear them then?
Right. So Brittany's just like, ugh, F this chick, man. I'm so done with these whole group of chicks and people that I'm with. I'm so done with it.
And you're sharing a hotel with them. There was like no escaping.
Yep. So her friend's like, no, I need them back. Give them back to me. So I mean, if I'm Brittany, you know, at this point, wouldn't you just be like, I don't know, I got them on, but you want it, you want to have a decent drive.
Well, and yeah, you want it to be civil, because if she's gonna sleep there that night, you have to drive home. You want to keep it civil, and then you think in your head, well, I guess maybe she had it set out for that outfit that she's wearing tonight. Mm-hmm. But to me, it seems like a shitty thing. Like, why did you lend her the shorts if you wanted them back later?
Exactly. But you know, there's flaky people like that.
Yeah, I've just never been a friend like that. I'm just
like, you picture the wicked stepsisters from Cinderella.
That's what I actually
we're like, Cinderella, actually, I need it back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're at the hotel visiting with your friend, come back and give me the shorts.
Right. And obviously,
like, really, bitch, you only brought one pair of shorts that you could wear.
Now, obviously, if this girl knew what was going to happen, she would have never, ever
saying she had vicious intent.
No.
I'm not saying that what happens to Brittany is her fault.
Right.
I'm just saying, did you really need the shorts back?
Right.
Like, maybe you're just kind of not the best friend.
You're SOL. Like, let's just wear some other pants or shorts.
I'm not putting any blame on this girl, but I just say it's a shitty thing.
Brittany probably looks cute. She's out and about. Like, don't call her back.
Don't make her come back.
Right. Right. So, anyways, this girl asked for her shorts back, and she had to walk more than a mile.
That's the other thing I was wondering. What was the distance?
Yep. More than a mile from the Blue Water Resort to her hotel to drop off these shorts.
So then clearly they had no plans to hang out that night together, Brittany with the girls. That's kind of how done she was with them, that they had no intentions of hanging out that night.
Correct. Brittany was done with them until they had to
drive home.
Brittany
to, like, not just go along with the crowd like a sheep or whatever.
Yep.
That she did distance herself.
Yep. So while Brittany was leaving, she texted John saying, I can't wait to come home. I can't wait to see you. I'm so angry at everyone here.
Poor
you know,
girl.
Imagine you being there and being like, this, I'm like, these chicks, I'm so done with them. Like, this is not my scene. Or
you
whatever.
Could probably picture that happening to me, right?
100%. Because you're not like the typical party girl. And
no,
stuff.
I'm not the typical party girl. I'm a creature of comfort.
You're like, I just want my pajamas.
Oh, well, it's not only that, but you're already like in a situation where you're not comfortable because you're lying to your parents. You're going to a place you've never been. You're away from your boyfriend. And now you're in this situation where you're with these girls you're not comfortable with. It's like my worst nightmare.
Yeah, it's definitely not your scene.
And I would be texting you the exact same thing.
Yep. And he tried to calm her down and said, you know what, just try to enjoy your last night. Yes. Like, this is your last night there. Don't worry, you'll be home tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Just try to relax, have fun.
Oh, what a good boyfriend.
Yeah, he's just trying to
make her feel
better.
You would say that same thing.
Yep. So shortly after, Brittany stopped responding to John's text messages.
Oh, shit.
They were used to communicating about every 10 minutes.
I'm sure, especially she's checking in and things like that.
Yeah.
You and I text each other randomly throughout the day.
Sure, sure. But I mean, every 10 minutes.
Well, hell no, I wouldn't get anything done at work.
Well, because you're working. But I mean, these are like teenagers, you know, and that's all they do all day long.
Yeah, they're like laying in their bed or whatever.
They're into each other, obviously, and everything.
Oh, that's right. We're not into each other, right, Mike?
Right, we covered that earlier.
Son of a bitch.
No, so every 10 minutes. And so John's like, this is weird. Especially, he knows she's walking by herself.
Right. She's looking for something to do and occupy herself.
Right. So all communication from Brittany's phone stopped at 9:15 p.m. Ugh,
I hate that. I hate everything about it.
Yep. So while Blue Water Resort security cameras showed Brittany arriving there safely, she left about 10 minutes later.
Because she got the damn call about the damn shorts.
Yep. So it turns out that Brazowitz was probably the last person to see her alive. Like, out of the people.
Peter.
Peter Brazowitz.
Yeah, okay. Because he said, all right, well, I'll see you later then.
Yep. So now is kind of where the investigation begins.
Okay. Obviously, she was heading in the direction of her hotel.
Yep.
Hence giving the shorts back.
Yep.
Where was her last point of contact along that route?
So John's understandably worried. He texts Brittany, you know, it started to be a bit, you know, are you okay? Hey, are you there? Whatever. Text me back. Yep. No.
And then they get more and more frantic.
Yep. And he's like, Brittany, if I don't hear from you, I'm going to tell your mom that you're in Myrtle Beach.
Good choice.
Like, this is serious. Right now, you're freaking me out.
And the fact that she didn't respond to that was a huge red flag.
Yeah, he's like, if she's reading this, then she wants to get back to me.
Yeah.
Then if she's not saying anything right now, then
there's trouble.
Yes. John called Dawn, Brittany's mom.
Good.
And Dawn was pissed off.
At him for not saying
at Brittany.
Okay.
Basically saying like, I'm going to let Brittany have it. Like, she is in deep, deep trouble.
Sure.
Here. But pretty soon John's like, well, no, like, I can't talk to her. Like, I'm worried.
And then she started
all of a sudden,
to realize.
Yeah. Dawn's like, whoa, this is worse than just her being in
gosh.
Trouble. So Dawn quickly turns and she's like from mad to freaking out.
Oh, I feel for this woman so bad.
Yeah. Yeah, and calling and texting with no success, calling all the friends and saying, like, have you seen her and whatever.
Ugh, what a nightmare. You're helpless.
Yep. So everybody's trying to call Brittany's phone and call and text and call and text everybody. Eventually, she said the phone started going straight to voicemail.
Ugh.
So that's where you're like, shit, the thing's off or it's smashed. It's
off or who knows? The battery died or what?
And batteries don't die for teenagers. You know, they find a way. Actually, they probably do.
Yeah. Well, you know, because you stretch it out and yeah. let it go.
Right, right. So you're just thinking the worst.
Of course.
So at 11 that night, John left work. As soon as he was done with work, he's like, all right, I'm out of work. I'm going to Brittany's parents' house. Right to Brittany's house. The whole family was at the table.
Okay.
And John just came clean. He's like telling him exactly what happened.
Right, you know, right.
She came over the to me that situation. Night. She left that night.
And, you know, he's a teenager himself.
Yeah.
I'm sure the parents didn't blame him because why would he narc her out?
Right.
He would, you know, that nobody would.
Anybody who's understandable, you know.
Yeah, like, of course.
She's your girlfriend. I understand you're on her side.
Yeah, of yeah. course.
So, I mean, and plus, not to mention something that doesn't really matter at that time.
Exactly. And what she would have come Brittany. Home the next day anyway, and no one would have been wiser.
Right, right. So it's not like it's his fault.
No, of course not.
So Dawn called the Rochester police and they told her, listen, there's not much we can do.
Well, they're in Rochester. Right. You need to get a hold of Myrtle Beach.
Exactly. So John tried to think of anybody he could who's uh-huh. nearby. He thought of a friend who's a U.S. Marine stationed in Lejeune, North Carolina.
Okay. How far is that?
Doesn't say exactly. I would guess a couple hours.
Okay.
So he asked him to drive to south to Myrtle Beach. He's like, my girlfriend, we have no idea where she is. We need somebody to file a report.
You're desperate and helpless.
Yeah. And so being a Marine and everything, he's like, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So,
what a good guy.
Yeah. So he drove down there, filed the missing persons report with the Myrtle Beach Police Department. And that was, you know, Sunday morning, April 26th.
Were they not able to do it via the phone?
I guess not. Okay. Because you would think that'd be the way to do it.
And then was he trying to get a hold of Peter, obviously, to like get the details of like what happened?
You know, they didn't go into that, but I would imagine absolutely.
That would be logical. You knew she was going to Peter's to hang out.
And I don't know if he had Peter's number.
Okay. Yeah. Because she was more of a friend of Peter's versus yeah. him.
Like he'd see him out and he was 20 years old.
Okay.
So Peter was 20. Brittany's 17. I'd imagine that John's around 17 as well. I'm not positive.
Man, John is a very secure guy. Being cool with his girlfriend going to a hotel on spring break with another guy, like, I know you would be okay with that,
right? Because I always think, like, you know what, if she wants somebody else, then
well, no, it's not even that. I think we just trusted each other,
right? It's like, that's, I think we're just pretty happy in this relationship, so.
Yeah, we've never been a jealous type of people because we really haven't had any reason to be,
right?
So I think that's like kind of showed that they were a really secure couple.
Yeah, I mean, didn't seem like it. There was no talk about any kind of like, you better get back here,
yeah,
or anything,
that's
or,
I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah, very, very grown up. So obviously, you know, immediately following Brittany's disappearance, some of her friends that were there uh-huh. stayed behind in Myrtle Beach an extra day or two to help try to find her, or
the girls that she was staying with. And you know, yes. And I'm sorry if I was being too harsh on the girls about being bitches or whatever. I just know in my experience of being in high school, sometimes there can be that cattiness.
Of course. And, you know, I get the feeling that obviously she wasn't close friends with these girls.
Clearly,
or people.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're all girls or not.
Clearly.
But they're minors too, so I don't know if there's a lot of information yeah. around. Anyways, so, you know, they stayed there to try to help find her. Local police combed Myrtle Beach, as you could imagine. And they followed up on any kind of leads. They were told that she was spotted at a bus stop in a convenience store, but both of those turned out to be bunk.
Now, there weren't any kind of like CCTV footage or along the way or anything?
Yes, there was.
Because I know you said the hotel at the Blue Water Resort saw her leaving, but I didn't know
what else picked
her
up. There's just a small little bit, and I'll mention that here in a moment.
Okay.
So, obviously, police also questioned her parents.
Sure.
Wondering if running away was a possibility at all.
Right.
So, they quickly found out that wasn't like Brittany because, again, she loved her siblings. You know, while home was rocky a little bit with the divorce going on, I mean, that's not a huge, like, thing going
no,
on.
No, it doesn't sound like it at all.
She had a good relationship with John at that time. At that
and
moment.
All the texts show she was just there for spring break.
And she was looking forward to coming home.
She couldn't wait to get home.
Exactly. So I think once they looked into all that yeah. stuff, they're like, you know, they kind of quickly put that to yeah. the side. Police did follow a lead, Peter Brazowitz.
Of course. That's pretty logical.
Yep. So he had suddenly left in the middle of that night. From his hotel, 2 a.m.
Oh.
Yeah. Came out of nowhere, right? They're like, this is the last dude that saw her, and he abruptly leaves his hotel room at 2 a.m.
What was his reasoning for that?
Well, I'll tell you in a moment here.
Why do I ask so many questions?
That's okay. That's
I'm
good.
Sorry.
That means you're interested in listening.
I am.
That's good. So also, not only did they leave, they didn't collect their deposit, which is weird for 20-year-olds.
Yeah, you need that money.
Yeah, especially...
It sounds like he had a pretty good gig going, like with this whole club scene or whatever he was doing, but still, money is money.
It's a deposit. It's your money unless you did something to the room.
Right, and was there any damage done to the room?
No.
So he would have gotten the deposits.
Yeah, 100%. So, you know, obviously during spring break, these hotels collect stuff in case you ruin it or whatever.
So it was a hasty exit, clearly, at 2 a.m., who the hell leaves their hotel, and he left without the deposits.
Correct. And so Peter got back to Rochester, and he quickly lawyered up.
Okay, this is weird.
Yeah.
That's weird to me, because had I been Peter, and I'm with Brittany at the time, she's getting these texts, oh, God, I got to go leave and walk a mile to get these friggin' shorts back to so-and-so, I'd be like, oh, man, that really sucks. I would tell them exactly that.
Well, at the same time, you listen to all these stories where the police, you know, got into somebody's head and made them say things that wasn't true.
And I get that. And I'm currently watching the confession tapes, I believe it's called, on Netflix. And it's scary as shit. And if you ever are getting questioned by somebody, you get a friggin' lawyer.
Right.
I believe in that 100%. However, what's with the leaving at 2 a.m. and...
Well, that's all going to be answered. He can't not answer that stuff.
Okay. All right.
I mean, he could. I guess he could plead the fifth.
I always just try to think of, like, people's reactions.
Yeah. Well, I mean, anybody who's listening to this, get a lawyer. Because
no, seriously, get a lawyer.
Just to be safe.
Because I'm watching these confession tapes, and it's like exactly these people did not do it. And they're in jail for the rest of their lives.
Yep. So Peter lawyered up, and he told police he had nothing to do with anything. Okay. Told them the whole story. Said, Brittany got to my room. She got a call or a text. Turned around about 10 minutes later and she was gone.
Okay.
That's the last I saw her. We were going to hang out and do whatever, but she was gone. And then other things happened. Yeah.
And that sounds perfectly reasonable. Well, why was the 2 a.m. exit? Maybe he talked to his parents or something.
I'll tell you in a moment. So okay. I promise. So police reviewed the traffic cameras to try to get Peter's story, just corroborate it and everything. And they're like, yeah, there were some traffic cameras that, like, in the corner, you could see her walking barely at the time, because they knew exactly what time based on the hotel cameras that she'd be in a certain area.
How based long on would it have speed. Taken her to get to this next hotel or whatever it was?
Yep. So Peter was kind of off the hook as far as that was concerned.
Okay.
Now they're like, okay, well, tell us what you were doing.
Yeah. Why did you leave?
It turns out that Peter had left that night because of one of his friend's moms found out that they were in Myrtle Beach and didn't want them in Myrtle Beach. And she's, you know, the mom's basically like, get the hell out of Myrtle Beach. Get your ass to Rochester right away.
Okay.
They're like, oh, mom, in the morning. No, right now you're leaving and going to Rochester.
And would it have been impossible to stop at the front desk and say, we're leaving right now. Can we get our security deposit back?
Well, maybe there was nobody standing there or something at the time.
Got it. So nothing suspicious there. It was just, and that's reasonable. I mean, Peter's 20. But maybe the person he was with was younger. Because a 20-year-old, if they're living under your roof.
I know whatever. People that are into their 40s living with their parents, so.
No, but at what point can you, at what age do you not say get home?
Well, it was one of the guys Peters was with. So
yeah, that's what I was saying. Maybe he was younger.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, and they corroborated the story with everybody.
Okay, so Peter's basically in the clear here.
Yep.
Which I never felt like Peter was the person.
Sure.
But.
Well, hey, you never know.
You never know.
I'm trying to tell you every aspect of the story here.
I appreciate that, Mike, and you're doing a really good job.
Hey, so far so good. So police looked at Brittany's cell phone records. These are the best, man. I just love when they look at the cell phone records and look at the pings and everything.
It's the pieces of the puzzle.
If they had this stuff back in the 1900s, like how many more serial killers and just weirdos would be caught?
Right.
You know?
Even in the 1980s, 1990s. Right.
Cell phones.
Before cell phones. Exactly.
So, you know, they pinged, you know, they looked at cell phone records. They showed the last ping on the cell phone was at 11:58 p.m.
So she left at 9:15.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's, you know, an hour and a half there.
Yep. Three.
More than an hour and a half.
3 hours, 45 minutes.
No, I'm sorry. 2.5. Almost 3 hours.
9:15
to 11:58.
Right. You're right. So, yes. Long time. And it came from Georgetown County, about 50 miles south.
Oh, okay.
So way now
is,
far away.
And that's in the opposite direction of her house.
Yes.
So clearly this is very, very
suspicious.
She just wanted to go home. She would not have gone south and not text her boyfriend and let him know what was happening.
Absolutely. 100%. No doubt about it.
So immediately this would spell terror to me.
Yep. And apparently it was in a not so good area, according to the special that I watched on YouTube.
Shoot.
Just not even like a bad neighborhood, but just like an area nobody really lives.
You wouldn't go there.
Yeah, like they said the... Just like kind of run down, like a lot of mosquitoes, like kind of a swampy area, just like nothing there, like nothing, like there's no reason for anybody really to live there unless like you were born there and that's where you live forever. That's where you have your land, whatever. Alligators, wild boars everywhere, like huge flies. I said flies the size, size of golf balls.
Okay, there. I'm never living there.
That's, you're already out.
I would be out within 10 seconds of arriving if I saw a fly that was the size of a golf ball.
So not necessarily like walking around, you're going to get murdered, but more like just
not nothing. Desirable.
Right. Nothing for
humans. I'm sorry if you live there.
Yeah. I'm not.
So. I just wouldn't live amongst a fly that's the size of a golf ball.
They probably don't have the internet or phones, so it's okay.
Now, Mike, we've already heard that you're an a-hole by some reviewers because of your Texas drawl.
Anyways.
Anyways.
I love Texans. They're actually the number two. They're the number two state listening to us.
Are they really?
Yeah. Yeah,
God, you didn't piss them off too much, I guess.
No, they love us.
Thank you, Texans.
Yes.
It's always,
appreciated?
No, the
everyone's bigger in Texas.
All my exes live in Texas.
And that's why I made my home in Tennessee.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
I'm just going to shut up now.
Thank you. So the reason that they were able to track her phone was because of all the people that were texting and calling her. I guess it was at a time where, like, you know, now your phone's constantly pinging because you got all these apps that are, like, always looking for your location and crap.
Okay. I thought it was off of the cell phone towers. It was, like, making a connection.
It is.
Okay. But it has nothing really to do with the app, correct? It's just connecting to your phone.
Right. All these apps now connect to all the cell phone towers all the time.
But if I had not a single app on my phone, would it ping to a tower?
Because there's always apps on all phones, just even if you don't download them.
You don't always have to be so right. Shut up.
Anyways, from the reports I got, they said all these texts and calls were the reason that they could ping it so accurately.
Well, thank goodness for that.
They saw that it was moving south at a pretty steady pace instead of like not going back and forth and not like, you know, stopping at a bar or whatever. Like this is basically went straight from Myrtle Beach to this.
You had a destination in mind and that's where you were headed.
Yep. So they found, you know, finally at 11:58 it stopped. So obviously police combed the area.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you know the driving distance between Myrtle Beach and this place? Did they make any stops or was it close to a 3-hour drive?
Where did you come up with 3-hour drive?
Because if she last was seen at around 9:15 p.m. and she pinged in this area at 11:58, how quickly was she taken is my question.
It's a good question. So this is a 50-mile trip. Which is probably, I mean, if it's a highway, it's
an hour,
but it could be 2 hours depending on side streets.
Okay. So it wasn't necessarily immediately then.
Right.
Okay. That was what I was trying to picture the time frame.
Yeah. So maybe when she got there with whoever took her, maybe some things happened.
Sure.
And, you know, found her cell phone, smashed it, whatever.
Right. Right.
So, obviously the police combed the area, searched all around the zone that was pinged, you know, starting right in that area and eventually going out further and further. Like I said, gators, flies, hogs.
Very wild.
Yeah.
Wildlife.
Yep. It was right by a stream. So just a kind of just nasty area.
Uh-huh.
So because the phone went into three different counties, they were able to combine the resources of all three counties.
Oh, wow.
So they used ATVs, like sonar. I guess they were putting sonar into the waters so that the gators wouldn't bite the police dogs. Like that seemed like, you know, Louisiana, basically, like on the, you know, kind of like you're on a one of those fly boats or whatever,
the fan boats.
Yeah, it seemed like that. Like they used sonar. They had all the police had guns to shoot the boars.
Oh, wow.
As they were coming out, helicopters, like you name it. It was basically all hands on deck.
Now it's possible though that she's not even in this area. They could have ditched the cell phone and she could have been across the country, really, for all they knew.
Yep, but this is the only thing.
Sure,
they had
of
to
course,
go on.
Understandable.
Yep. So unfortunately, they did all the searching, didn't find a thing.
Yes. And this is right around, like, what, the 26th-ish of 2009?
Yeah. I mean,
right around the time she went missing.
Right. It went on for weeks. They tried to comb everything and just nothing. You know, scuba divers, everything, just nothing. Brittany's trail went cold for 7 years.
Ugh.
After dozens of investigations, that all came up dry. So while the FBI joined the search and offered a $25,000 reward for the information, the first lead arrived in June of 2016.
Okay.
After, you know, all the pings and everything.
Right.
When an inmate at the McCormick Correctional Institute in South Carolina made a surprising confession.
Oh.
Did you hear about this?
No, I did not.
Okay. His name was Taquan Brown, and he claimed to have witnessed Brittany being gang raped at an abandoned stash house he frequented in McClellanville on April 27th, 2009.
April 27th, so it would have been a couple days after she went missing.
Yep. He said she had a black eye. Like 8 to 12 guys were in there and they were having sex with her.
Oh my God.
Could you imagine being the parents and trying to picture that?
No, I cannot possibly wrap my head around it.
And so like she was, like I said, a cute girl, 17-year-old, you know, and just, you know, taken basically, you know, allegedly taken for a sex slave, basically.
It's a nightmare.
Yep. He claimed that he was bringing money to a man named Sean Taylor. And when he saw Drexel and claimed he then heard that she was killed, he said, as I see it, the guy in the front yard told me, hold on a second. He had to go inside. And after he goes inside, I heard two gunshots. At this time, I'm trying to get the hell out of there because I'm thinking someone's been shot.
Right.
He added that Drexel's body was probably left in an alligator pit.
Oh, my God. So he was at this guy, Sean Taylor's house, and he heard two gunshots go out.
At the stash house.
At this stash house, assuming that it was Brittany.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Saw her getting gang raped by 8 to 12 guys.
A disgusting nightmare.
Yep. So after they found out about this, South Carolina FBI Special Agent David Thomas announced to the public, quote, what we've come to discover through the course of this investigation is that Brittany Drexel did leave the Myrtle Beach area. We believe she traveled to the area around McClellanville, and we believe she was killed after that.
Ugh. And now Sean Taylor lives in this area where her phone last pinged?
He was there. I don't know where he lived.
Okay, but that's where the stash house was or whatever it's called.
Yeah, near that area.
What is a stash house?
It's kind of like a place to, not a place somebody lives, but where people can go to do like just illegal things, whether it's hide guns and drugs.
And who owns this house?
Maybe it's an abandoned house. It's like a place that, it's not like somebody buys it and like, this is going to be a stash house officially.
Does it have a sign that's lit up above that says the stash house?
They started doing that. Police found them really easily.
I guess I'm wondering, like,
on Google
it's
reviews.
Basically like a squatter's house.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. What a flipping nightmare. Yeah. And I'm sick about it.
Yeah. And it's similar to, there's another kind of house that people like do drugs in and their drugs.
Sure. I mean,
but it wasn't that. Stash houses are different.
Okay. We get patients that come in with an overdose that were found in like a drug house.
Yes. Those are different. There's usually a bunch of heroin users laying around.
Just
passing the needles.
Now this is more like
illegal activities like gang rapes and such.
Ugh,
like that.
Gross.
And stashing things.
How does this go? How does this happen?
Well, this is where, you know, trafficking of little
that's
girls
like,
and stuff.
Why
is all
are
ends
we
up.
Checking out these places?
Trying. I mean, as much as you can.
Just not enough. Like, are these like abandoned houses like around? Like,
I don't think it's very. I mean, it's more than you would think. But
it's scary to think about.
Absolutely.
It really is.
Yep. So not to digress too much. But
yeah.
Yeah, horrible, horrible.
I'm just
situation.
Trying to wrap my head around, like, what could have possibly...
Well, because you're not a human being that would think to steal a little girl and then have people rape her for money.
It just makes me sick to think that this poor, poor child had to live through this.
Yeah, so beyond Brown's confession, investigators didn't have much else to go on. So, serving 25 years for unrelated manslaughter, Brown's description of the stash house was also corroborated by investigators. So they ended up finding the stash house. It was 50 miles south of Myrtle Beach, near where Drexel's phone gave off its last ping. Brown said Taylor's 16-year-old son, Timothy Deshaun, was present that day. So Taylor's like 16-year-old son was also there, probably, you know.
Participating?
Maybe. Investigators believe Deshaun likely lured her to McClellanville to be trafficked, but the disappearance garnered too much media attention to keep Drexel alive. So she's probably like, yeah, maybe you stopped and said, hey, you want to ride real quick? Come on, girl, whatever you want. Come on, let's like talk a little bit. She gets in and takes her down there. Right.
Now, is this a frequent thing that like girls are getting picked up from places like this?
Enough that it should have more news than it actually does.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I mean, that scares the shit out of me.
Yeah. So, let me see here. So, convicted of robbery in 2011, he failed a polygraph when asked about Drexel in March 2018.
Big surprise.
But he has never been charged with her murder. So, he failed a polygraph. He said, did you have her? Yes. And it showed that he was lying.
Because I don't think you can convict on a failed polygraph.
Right.
Now, none of the findings at the house showed her DNA and things like that?
Nope, nothing they could find.
Because if that's where she was shot...
Right. So you would think that something would be there.
Right.
But nothing. While authorities brought federal charges against him in hopes of spurring a confession, it never came. Instead, Deshaun allegedly put a $15,000 bounty on Brown's head for cooperating with the police. In June 2019, Deshaun was sentenced to 319 days of time served for the 2011 robbery. Okay, so before thinking too much about that, everything I just told you about the stash house had nothing to do with Brittany Drexler.
Really?
Yes. Crazy, right?
Oh my gosh.
So don't get too crazy about it.
Okay, because yeah, I mean, that was very, very upsetting.
And until 3 weeks ago, that's where absolutely everybody thought Brittany had died.
They just assumed.
Yes.
And this is where I heard something on the news on Monday.
Correct.
Yes.
So we're about to come full circle. Like, just imagine being Brittany's friends and family thinking she was used as a whore, basically, as a 17-year-old, and like then all of a sudden you're like, what? That was all a lie? We've been living with this information?
Thinking these images in your head of what your baby girl was subjected to, your precious baby girl went through this. I mean, I'm sick about it, and I don't know this girl just because this happened to a child.
And I'm sorry to tell this story to everybody, but I wanted you to kind of go through what
family it's part
did.
Of the story.
Absolutely. And so 3 weeks ago, I mean, this is brand new. 3 weeks ago, we found out that all that was not Brittany at all.
And I mean, I'm thankful that she didn't have to live through the horrors of that, but what did she have to live through?
Well, in early May 2022, the current year,
yes,
current month, Raymond Moody, 62 years old, a registered sex offender, turned himself into the Georgetown County Sheriff's Office on the basis of an obstruction of justice charge. Moody had been considered a person of interest for over a decade.
In this case?
Yep.
How so?
I don't know. It hasn't come out yet. Like, they're just starting to bring. So a lot of the stuff is all I know.
Okay.
And that's all anybody knows right
sure.
now.
Sure. It's kind of like the story I did last time with Lily Peters.
Yep. And
it's
we're going to know more soon, but we just don't know more right now. Moody confessed to the crime on May 4th and provided a location of potential remains, which launched an excavation process that involved the FBI and lasted from May 4th to May 7th.
Okay.
So it's still at this time the public didn't know about
They think they just released it at some point this week. I'm saying Monday, at some point this week.
The day was May 11th when they found human remains.
Okay.
Located buried in the woods off a gated private drive outside Georgetown. 4 feet underground.
So right there where her phone pinged.
Yep. They were identified as Brittany Drexel's through DNA and dental records on May 15th.
It's so sad.
The arrest warrant alleged that she'd been strangled and then buried by the morning of April 26th.
So she died then right away.
Yep. This fucking sicko.
Who is this guy?
A registered sex offender. That's all
How
we know.
How old is he? What was 62. He doing in... Oh, you did say 62. Like, what in the hell was he doing up in South Carolina?
And why did it take so long to just come forward and say you did this?
What a disgusting human being.
Georgetown County Sheriff's Office, along with Drexel's family, made the information public the following day, May 16th.
Okay.
So all this was going on without anybody
It was
knowing.
Monday that I was at the kitchen table hearing about this.
Along with the announcement of Moody's arrest.
I did hear her parents say, you know, they have such a sense of relief.
Right.
You know, that they're being able to know what happened to their baby girl and that they can have her back.
And they'd already accepted that she was gone.
With these horrible stories of, you know, no way that a child could be murdered is... But at least she wasn't gang raped and tortured in some stash house.
And it's crazy. You almost feel a little better, but it's like still horrible.
What's the end point? She died by the hands of a disgusting human being.
Right. And at least you know the guy and you have him there. I mean,
so we don't know what he said and what happened and why. And I mean, what's the why?
I mean,
why does somebody take a 17-year-old girl walking down a street of South Carolina?
Obviously, he's got mental problems.
Well, right. I just wonder how he lured her over.
I don't know. Well,
because
maybe
it's
we'll
like
find out.
One of those things that I would just like to know that is like a teaching point to our own children. Or did he just yank her into a car? Who knows? But I would imagine the strip she was walking down was pretty busy, right?
When I saw the pictures from the video, it wasn't super busy.
Okay.
It was kind of like sparse. Like, not that it was nobody there, but in, you know, it was a mile. So maybe there's some areas where nobody's there.
Because I'm picturing, you know, a spring break town, hotels all along the strip. It's hopping with people. But, you know, I've never been to Myrtle Beach, so I don't know.
Well, just our morbid curiosity wants to know.
Well, yeah. And I want to be able to, like, use it as a teaching point with our kids. You know what I'm saying? There's no good came out of this, but...
Yeah, so he was arrested, again, charged with murder, kidnapping, and first-degree criminal sexual misconduct.
Ugh.
So some sex of some kind. All alleged to have occurred on the day Drexel disappeared.
So sad.
The charges are currently death penalty eligible, though the decision has not yet been determined, according to Wikipedia.
Oh. So, I mean, I'm glad that her parents have some closure.
Yeah.
That at least they have their child. And it's a horrible outcome, but at least they have some answers.
Some answers for their child.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
And another, you know, young life taken.
That's so sad.
It's really sad.
Like you said, she had all these aspirations. She wanted to be a nurse. She wanted to be a model. She was doing great at soccer. Her mom and sister bought her the cleats.
Yeah.
She had a boyfriend. Like, the world was her oyster.
Right. I have a whole life ahead of her.
Anything she wanted to do, she could have done. And this scumbag. Disgusting piece of shit scumbag just yanked her out of the world.
Can you believe just somebody had the audacity to take your little daughter?
No, I can't.
Out of this world.
It scares the living daylights out of me and makes me want to never let my kids out of my sight.
Almost like I'd rather them live with me till they're 60.
I mean, seriously, I'm scared. I'm really scared.
Yeah. So I'm sorry, but for Brittany's family.
So sad.
Yeah. Well, thank you for listening to the story. Hopefully this, provides people a little more safety and, tell your kids about this story, at an appropriate age.
Yeah, it's just so hard because it's like, like you said, what do? Tell your kids not to live and...
Well, and kids are going to be like, that's not going to happen to me, whatever. It's like,
nobody ever thinks anything's going to happen to them. Yeah. I miss doomsday, so I just assume it's going to happen to me.
Yeah.
But, you do have to live your life, too. You have to live your life.
And it's totally different as a male. I would never think of any of this.
You can't let some disgusting human like Raymond Moody put such the fear of God in you that your life is passing you by and you're not experiencing it, too. It's like it's a balance, I guess.
Yep.
But who would have ever thought?
Nope.
Yeah. Going to spring break with your friends, going to have fun. The next day you're going to head home. No one was going to be a wiser in this piece of shit.
Yep. And she was just hours from going home.
Hours from just getting through this damn trip and getting home.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, thank you for listening. Hopefully, I did an all right job for Brittany's story.
Yeah, absolutely.
And hey, thanks for your support and everything. I mean, we're growing by leaps and bounds, being able to spread these stories. It's important for people to know these stories and for the victims to be heard and so people can remember them. And we appreciate
that's really the point. And then we did want to give a big thank you to our Patreon members. You guys really truly don't know how much it actually means to us, and it really does make our day, because like I said, work has been just bonkers for me, working 10 hours nonstop. So sometimes just that bright ray of light when Mike sends me a text like, hey, we got a new Patreon member, it truly does really make our day. So we appreciate the support so much. So I'm gonna name our Patreons in order of how they signed up.
Yep.
We have Colleen, Lily, Karen, Nadine, Allie, and Susan. So
yeah, growing quickly. We're only gonna say the first 20, so you better get in now.
Get in while it's hot. No, we're always gonna say them, but only the new members. Right. We won't keep saying
after 20, we'll go to the next 20.
Yeah, we'll just name our new ones.
Well, whatever you say, Allison, you're the one that comes up with the
rules.
I
make the rules.
It's really, it's
not
true.
Really, it's not true. I'm very open to your suggestions, Mike.
Yeah, I agree.
Except for the idea of an orange coffee cup, that would have never happened
thanks, Lex.
Under my regime.
Lexi is the best, so thank you, Lex.
All right, well, thank you guys so much for being back with us, and we will see you next time. Cheers.
Bye.